Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study is at Roland Springs, Baptist Church. And we are studying at this time in the book of 2 Corinthians, and our lesson today is Lesson 7, which is also Chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. So let's begin our study today in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we can't understand and know your word without the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. And we come before you now to study and ask that the Holy Spirit teach us your truth, Father, to glorify your name, that we may go out into the world and tell others about Jesus and about salvation that they can receive only through him. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're beginning this study today by, of course, reviewing. We know that Paul wrote the letter of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And this second letter, we know there was false teaching at Corinth, and the people there were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. And Paul was dealing with a very strained relationship with these Corinthians as he defended his ministry. And of course, we know that ministry was of the Spirit, the New Covenant, and it was a ministry of reconciliation, presenting the gospel. And Paul didn't lose heart, though, in his ministry, even when he was under a lot of afflictions and conflict. So the Corinthians were restrained in their affections toward Paul and Timothy. And Paul warned them about being bound with unbelievers and going back into worship of idols, adultery. So let's go forward now and study in this seventh chapter, the part of the letter that Paul is writing, looking at verses 1 through 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all of our affliction." Now, these first four verses, Paul starts out again saying, "Therefore," and then he mentions promises, and that's probably referring to the promises that were made in chapter 6 through 18. And chapter 6, that was in our lesson last week. And I'll just read quickly these promises, chapter 6 through 18. And that's a lot to read. Let's see, 16 through 18. So that's not a lot to read. So Let me just read so we can realize and connect these promises. He said in verse 16 of chapter 6, "Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord." So the promise is that God is made, that he is referring to, having these promises, the promises of God, that he said that you are the temple of God, and you are not worshiping God, idols. And he says, I will dwell and walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And then he says, I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. And that's what God had promised. And so this is what Paul is saying here. And he's saying, because of these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from defilement. And that is by dwelling among those that are unbelievers and going back to idols. Now, Paul and Timothy had the Corinthians in their hearts, and he made that statement. He said, make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one, and we corrupted no one, and we didn't take advantage of anyone. And then he goes on in that fourth verse and says, great is my confidence in you. He said, because my boasting is on your behalf, and I'm filled with comfort, and I'm overflowing with joy in all of the afflictions that are before you. So Paul was boasting then toward the Corinthians because of Titus's report. Remember that Titus had sent a report to Paul. Now, boasting means to state of a state of being rightfully proud. So Paul was very proud of the Corinthians. Now let's look at 5 through 16. And I'll read these verses. For even when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, and we were afflicted on every side, conflicts within and fears without. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longings and your mournings and your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, and though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you, what vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In anything, in everything, you demonstrate yourselves to be innocent in the matter. So, although I wrote to you, if it was not for the sake of the offender, nor for the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness on our behalf might be known to you in the sight of God. Verse 13, for this reason we have been comforted, and besides our comfort, we rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be truth. His affection abounds all the more toward you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice that in everything I have confidence in you. Now, who and what are these verses about? We see Paul was overflowing with joy about the Corinthians because Titus, he was in Macedonia, and he came and reported to Paul about his visit there in Corinth with the Corinthians. And Paul and Timothy, they were afflicted in Macedonia. You have to go back to read about that. And then they were comforted, even in their affliction, by the good news about the Corinthians. So, evidently, Paul had sent Titus to the Corinthians to see how they responded to the letter that he had sent, and it had caused them sorrow. But they had repented, and they were mourning or longing, and they were zealous for Paul. Titus' report gave comfort and joy to Paul. So Titus himself had been comforted and refreshed by the Corinthians. Now, in reading the book of Titus, you learn that Paul left him in Crete to set things in order and to appoint elders in the churches of the cities on the island of Crete. And he was to speak soon about the sound doctrine with authority and confidence. And Paul wanted Titus to come to him after Artemas or Titius got to Crete. So I want to read in the book of Galatians, 2nd chapter, 1 through 3. So let me find that scripture and read the book of Galatians. Okay, this is chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me, and this is Paul, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So Titus was an uncircumcised Greek, and Paul took him to Jerusalem along with Barnabas. Now, let's look at some scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. So we see in these verses, Paul had sent Titus to Dalmatia. And it seems that Paul sent Titus to be a representative in several places. In the second chapter that we studied in 2 Corinthians, verses 12 through 14, if you want to make a note, you can go back and read it. But here in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul had explained earlier in the letter that he didn't go through Corinth on his way to Macedonia was because he didn't find Titus in Troas. And it seems that he wanted the report from Corinth that Titus had before he visited there. So we also know that Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 10, that Titus wasn't the only one that Paul sent to check on the church. Also, he sent Timothy to Thessalonica and to Corinth. So, let's go back now and look at verses 8 through 12 of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians that we're in today. And we see in these verses 8 through 12 that Paul had written a letter that he talks about that had caused sorrow or grief to the Corinthians. And he said he regretted it, and then he said he didn't when he heard of the results that were good. So, what kind of sorrow or grief was in this chapter? It was a sorrow according to God, according to the Word of God, that produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. And it was also, that's what the ninth verse said, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. So, the other sorrow that he was talking about was of the world that produces death. And let me read verse 10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So, here you're looking at two kinds of sorrows. One that produces a person to repent without regret, and that leads a person to salvation. And the other sorrow is a sorrow that someone has that's of the world, and they're not truly sorrowful. They're just sorrowful that they've been caught, in other words, that the world sees their behavior, their disobedience, and their sorrow is of the world. It's of themselves and not of God, of the will of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14. See if I can find that quickly. Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. And we see here about the story of Esau, and we'll see what kind of sorrow that he had. 14 through 17. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau, he sought repentance, but it was with tears. It wasn't truly from his heart. And that's what is talking about the sorrow or the grief of the world that produces death. Now, I'm not going to read all the other scripture, but I will touch on these. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, just make yourself a note, Saul disobeyed God's instructions to him regarding the Amalekites. And when he was confronted by Samuel, he repeatedly said he had sinned. But it was Samuel who carried out God's instructions, and the Lord regretted making Saul king because he was disobedient. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through chapter 12, verse 13, we learn of the story of David and his sin in adultery and murder. And he was convicted by the Lord, and he turned from his sin. And he confessed to Nathan and the Lord, and he repented. And that was sorrow that produced repentance without regret. David was sorry, and it was from his heart, and it produced repentance. Now, according to the verses, let's go back to chapter 7 and looking at the verses 11 through 12. We're seeing I'll ask a question in these verses. What did the godly sorrow produce in the Corinthians? I'll read quickly the 11 and 12, and we'll talk about of what godly sorrow that it produced. It says, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, "For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you, what vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the offender, nor of the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness on our behalf might be known to you in the sight of God." So, what words do we see here that shows that they had godly sorrow, that the Word of God had produced in these, excuse me, Corinthians? First, we saw it produced earnestness, and then we saw that it produced vindication, and vindication means eagerness to clear themselves, and then it caused indignation regarding of what they had done or not done. It caused fear. It caused longing and zeal, and it caused avenging from wrong. And then they demonstrated innocence in the matter. And so we see that in verse 15 that Titus said they obeyed. Reading verse 15, "Titus' affection abounds all the more toward you, the church of Corinth, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling." So, this is what we see then in these verses. So, Paul again refers to the letter, stating that he wrote it for the sake of the one offended. I wrote the letter not for the sake of the one offended or the offender, but that the Corinthians might know their earnestness for him. So how then do we see that Paul ended the chapter, this seventh chapter? Paul had boasted to Titus about the Corinthians, and he was rejoicing because it proved to be true. And Titus, we just read, reported their obedience. Now, chapter 7 returns to the matter that began in chapters 1 and 2. It was about the planned visit and the letter. And then in chapters 3 through 6, there are several instances that we've read where Paul mentioned the relationship that he had with the Corinthians. And his desire was for them to open their hearts to Timothy and to himself as they had to the Corinthians. So, we learn now in chapter 7, looking at this entire chapter, it's about Titus's report of the Corinthians and about godly sorrow. That would be our theme of this chapter, Titus' report of the Corinthians, godly sorrow. So, looking at this, how does this refer to help believers today when facing difficult relations? We need to look at these verses and go back to 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 7 that we have finished, and you will see how all of this relates today to believers as we face difficult situations. This church at Corinth had false prophets to come in, and they were dealing with either believing Paul and the gospel that he brought, or accepting this false message that was brought. And we see how in these first chapters that Paul and Timothy had taught them how to deal with it. And we need to look at this in dealing with things that come in our churches today. Some churches today are teaching against what is written in God's Word. The Bible is the written finger of God that He inspired these holy men to write down through the Holy Spirit. They were inspired. And every letter is true. And if anyone comes into our churches to preach or teach by taking out or adding to the Word of God, then it needs to be dealt with. We don't need to allow it. This is what was going on then. There was a lot of things like this, and we need to deal with it in our churches today if we face this. So this will conclude our study today in chapter 7, and I pray that each of us can look back at what we've studied so far in the teachings of Paul through God's Holy Spirit and apply it to our lives and examine our lives to see if we are failing like these were here in Corinth. But we see that through the preaching of the gospel, any time that we fail or feel that we're misled, we just need to look to the Word, to God's truth, and then it will bring victory, and we will have that same perspective that these at Corinth had. They were filled, it says, with earnestness, with indignation, with vindication, with fear and longing for zeal, and avenging the wrong. And so that's what we need to examine in ourselves. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will take the Word that we have studied today and apply it into our hearts and our souls and our minds, and give us all understanding, Father, that we will not have any things of the world to come in and cause us to doubt or to be swayed in any other way. We know that we have the earnestness of the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts because we have believed upon the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Father, that You will give us boldness as Paul and Timothy and Titus and many of the other apostles and disciples have done before us. May we today have that boldness, because we have the same Holy Spirit dwelling in us that dwelled in them. And they held firm and they overcome. And we ask that You help us to overcome through all the trials and troubles that we face in this life, the things of this world. Keep us, Father, from the world, from Satan, and all the evils, Father. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.